It's tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Welcome to an hour of adventure. Later on, a story from Escape from 1950, but first, Brian Dunleavy stars in Dangerous Assignment, an NBC broadcast from June 24th, 1953.
Dangerous Assignment, transcribed starring Brian Dunleavy as Steve Mitchell.
Danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though, trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize that this assignment's going to wind up with me doing my best to pull a building down on my head.
Morning, Commissioner. You sent for me?
Steve, there's to be a meeting tomorrow night somewhere in the city of Damascus between representatives of a country behind the Iron Curtain and members of a desert tribe from the Near East. The object of that meeting is to exchange prisoners.
Exchange prisoners? Go on, Commissioner.
2 weeks ago, the tribe captured a foreign agent who'd been giving them no end of trouble. In retaliation...
Let me guess. The Iron Curtain boys grabbed off someone from the desert tribe.
Right. One of their chiefs.
So the deal's been made, huh? This agent for the chief, even swapped. How do we figure in this, Commissioner?
We want to get our hands on that foreign agent, Steve. He's an American traitor named Stoller.
Stoller? Well, well, our old friend James C. Stoller?
One of their top propagandists. A vicious, clever writer and a killer. We specifically want him for the murder of an American army officer during the war.
Have we contacted the tribe about it?
No, I'm certain they'd turn him over to us if we asked them, but they've already made the deal, and if they backed out now, it'd place the life of their chief in jeopardy. We can't ask them to do that.
Our best bet, then, is to wait until the exchange of prisoners has been effected and then move in and grab Stoller.
Right. Get over to Damascus, Steve, and check with our contact there, a man named Barid. He's the man who tipped us off about the meeting. Find out exactly where that meeting is to take place and grab Stoller. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
The National Broadcasting Company is presenting Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Dunleavy in the role of Steve Mitchell, colorful two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another dangerous assignment. Here's a reminder to all of you mystery and adventure fans. If you enjoy Dangerous Assignment, you're sure to be entertained by Dragnet, another of the great programs on NBC Radio. Yes, each week, Dragnet takes you step by step on the side of the law in the solution of an actual case from the official records of the Los Angeles Police Department. From crime to punishment, Dragnet is true. Listen each week over most NBC radio stations for Dragnet, starring Jack Webb as Sergeant Joe Friday with Ben Alexander as his partner, Frank Smith. And remember, for the reenactment of an actual police case, listen each week for Dragnet, the true stories of your police force in action.
I've got my assignment. Get over to Damascus in Syria and find out where a prisoner exchange meeting is to take place. My job is to grab off one of the prisoners, an American traitor named James Stoller. We want him for murder. It's late Thursday afternoon when my plane lands in Damascus. I hurry into the old walled city to Barid's small shop. He takes me into his living quarters in the back.
There has been a change in plans, Mr. Mitchell.
The meeting hasn't been called off, has it?
No, but instead of everyone meeting here in Damascus, the exchange will take place at two separate points. The tribal chief will be delivered to his friends at a place near the Turkish border.
And what about Stoller?
He will be turned over to his associates at El Musabi. It is a deserted village to the east of here.
When?
Sometime after midnight tonight. Once the tribal leader has been safely delivered in the north, a signal will be flashed, a fire lighted on Mount Kadir.
The signal for the tribe to turn Stoller over to his buddies, huh?
Yes.
Okay. How far is this village from here?
Many hours' ride into the desert. I have made all the arrangements for us to travel there in a manner that will not cause suspicion.
Yeah, it wouldn't do for Stoller's friends to know I'm on my way.
There is a caravan leaving Damascus at sundown. It will pass through the village later this evening.
Will we get there in plenty of time?
Yes. We should arrive at El Musabi well before midnight.
Good. Well, I guess a change of clothes is next in order, huh?
I have several robes here. You can select the one you wish.
The one on the end, the tattletale gray job. That'll do.
Here you are, Mitchell. Now, if you will sit down here, please.
Hmm?
Your face and hands will have to be stained.
Oh, sure. You know, last time I got a facial like this, I came out of it smelling like the inside of an old tobacco pouch.
Berry juice will do as well.
Okay, Barrett, my face is in your hands. An hour later, Barid and I ease out of the shop. I'm dressed in a snappy desert outfit, a creation of Hark Schaffner and Hassan Bey, with a wraparound beanie to match. We hop aboard a couple of Arabian nags and trot on over to the marketplace where the caravan is forming. We finally get underway and start out across the desert. There's a hot wind blowing in from the east, and it's whipping the sand around us, but it serves as an excuse to keep my head down and my face covered up. It's a long haul, and the scenery is pretty much the same until we reach the mountains. We find our way through a narrow pass and drop down into the desert again, into a small village. Hey, Barid, are we pulling in here?
Yes, only for a short time, however. It is a regular stop along the caravan route.
Well, get down. Stretch your legs. I'd sure like to wash this sand out of my teeth with a tall schooner of beer.
Down the street, there is a coffee house.
Good. Let's go.
This way.
I follow Barid as we make our way through the caravan and the crowd of villagers who have come to bargain with the drivers. Then, as we reach the door of the coffee house...
Look out!
I got down. As the knife whips past and buries itself into the door over my head.
Across the way, Mr. Mitchell. There's the man.
Come on.
It is no use. He has disappeared into the crowd.
Did you get a good look at him?
No, only a glimpse. His face was covered. I saw his hand raised, the knife. That is when I cried out.
Good thing you did. Otherwise, that knife had been planted right between my shoulder blades right now. Look, Barid, who did you make arrangements with for our trip?
The caravan chief himself, a cousin. I simply told him we wished to travel east with a caravan. That is all.
You didn't by any chance happen to mention that I'm an American agent.
But of course not. I told him you were a distant relative.
He's your cousin, and you ring me in as a distant relative?
We have a large family. He would not know.
Well, he might be interested.
He hates our family. I am the only one he will speak to.
Oh, great.
Mitchell, I have been thinking. This man who threw the knife might possibly have mistaken you for someone else. The robes you wear identify you as a member of a tribe from a nearby country. And as you know, there are many feuds.
Yeah, so it could have been a mistake, but I think the gent who tossed that knife spotted this disguise, and he doesn't want me to take this trip to El Mousabi. Come on, let's keep looking around. We mingle with the crowd, but there's no sign of the man we're looking for. Finally, the caravan is ready to roll on. Barrett and I keep to the rear of the column as it moves out into the desert, and we keep our eyes open. It's shortly before midnight when we sight the deserted village of El Mousabi, a low, sprawling pile of mud huts sitting quietly in the moonlight. As the caravan files through the main drag, Barrett and I slip back, then ease off into the shadows. The caravan rolls on, disappears. We tie up the horses and spend the next few minutes cautiously exploring the village. Then, as we emerge on a small back street...
Look, Mr. Mitchell, parked behind that mud hut, a desert car.
Yeah, one of those half-track jobs. Seems like we have company.
Inside the house, is that a light?
It is. Come on, let's have a look.
You see anyone?
Yeah. A man stretched out on a cot. Looks like he's taking a nap.
You there! What do you want?
Oh, more company.
A woman coming down the street, British by the sound of her voice.
You better do the talking, Barid. We're just passing through. You get it?
Do you wish something?
Good evening. We are travelers. My cousin and I, we journey to Zakare.
Zakare? You're a long way from there.
Yes, we thought we might spend the night here.
You came with a caravan?
Caravan?
One came through a few moments ago.
But we thought it was not due until morning. We had planned to meet it here, continue our journey. You hear that, my cousin? The caravan has already passed.
What is it, Myra? Who are you... Oh, we have visitors. Good evening.
Good evening, Effendi. Please excuse this intrusion, but my cousin and I saw your auto, the light, and believing the village to be deserted, well, we were curious.
Yes, I understand. We've made El Mousabi our temporary headquarters. I'm Professor Varrell, an archaeologist, and this is my daughter. You're travelers?
Yes, we left Aleppo this morning.
Aleppo? You've had quite a journey. Myra, my dear.
Yes, Father?
Our visitors have had a long, tiring trip. Some refreshments, perhaps. Something to eat?
Of course.
Oh, you are most generous, Effendi, but the hour is late and we have disturbed you.
Not at all, my friend.
And there is the caravan to be overtaken. We must hasten after it.
Oh, I see. Well, then, a happy journey.
Thank you, Effendi. Come, my cousin, we must hurry.
Later, Barrett and I ride out of the village, and when we're certain we're out of sight, we circle around. Back in the village, we tie up our horses and slip into a hut across the street from the building where the professor and his daughter are staying.
Mr. Mitchell.
Maybe he is an archaeologist. Maybe he isn't.
Perhaps they are really here in El Mustabi to meet Stoller.
Yeah.
He seemed to be most hospitable.
Sure. Maybe he just wanted a better look at us.
Mr. Mitchell, the signal.
Huh?
Over that way toward the hills, the fire.
Yeah, it's the signal, all right. The tribe ought to be bringing Stoller along pretty soon. We'll just keep an eye on the...
What is it, Mr. Mitchell?
Listen.
A plane.
Yeah. If that's a commercial airliner, it's a little off the beaten path, isn't it?
There are no established air routes over this area.
Let's get out back and have a look.
There it is, Mitchell. Look.
Yeah, circling. Hey, he's coming around again. Gonna land.
Who do you think it is?
Not the tribe with Stoller. They couldn't have gotten here this soon. I doubt if they have any planes anyway. Only one answer. Stoller's buddies have come to pick him up in that plane.
Then the professor, his daughter...
I guess I was wrong. He really must be an archaeologist. Look, plane's going to land at the other end of the village. I'm going over there. You stick around.
But why?
Keep your eye on the professor and his daughter. They've certainly heard the plane, and they'll come out to investigate. They could get hurt.
Very well.
Down the back street on the double, reach the edge of the village and start crawling on my hands and knees through a mass of boulders. Finally, the plane sets down, pulls up less than 30 yards away. There are two men inside. They sit back, light up cigarettes, and wait. 5 minutes, 10 minutes go by. Then I spot Barry's yellow robe moving through the boulders toward me. I motion him to crouch down low. He does, keeps coming. I look back at the plane. They haven't spotted him. Then I turn around as Barrett comes up. Yeah, he comes up fast with the butt of his rifle, and I catch it full on the jaw.
Steve Mitchell will continue his dangerous assignment in just a moment. Everyone dreams of a rosy future when they'll finally be able to retire and really enjoy life. Vacationing in different lands, enjoying the beautiful scenery of our own country on a Trailways bus, or just basking in the sunshine of their own backyard. Well, that dream can become a reality through United States Savings Bonds. And you don't have to be a rich man to afford United States Savings Bonds. You can buy a savings bond with a modest $18.75, or you can buy a savings bond for $7,500. But no matter what savings bond you buy, you'll get back $4 for every $3 you put in. And it's easy to buy United States savings bonds. Look into the payroll savings plan where you work. That's the automatic plan for buying savings bonds. Or if you're self-employed, ask about the bond a month plan where you bank. And believe me, you'll feel more secure tomorrow if you'll buy United States savings bonds today. Now, back to Dangerous Assignment and Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Get up, Mitchell. Oh, on your feet, Mitchell. Get up.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, brother, getting tagged with a rifle butt on the chin is... Hey, wait a minute. You're not Barid.
Of course not. I am Hasha.
But you've got Barid's robes on. That's what fooled me when I saw you crawl up.
Let us say that Barid was kind enough to lend me his robes.
What'd you do, kill him?
No, he is safely tied up. It occurred to me that for the present, he would be more valuable to us alive.
Us?
Yes, us, Mr. Mitchell.
What? Oh, I didn't see you, Buster.
Please, it is Gregor.
Flight closed?
Yes, I am the pilot of the plane.
You came to pick up your old buddy Stoller, huh?
Quite right. You served our cause well. That is, until he was stupid enough to get captured. According to your credentials, Mr. Mitchell, you are a United States agent. Stolar is a fellow countryman of yours. Is that by any chance why you are here?
You guess, Gregor.
In any case, it does not matter. The point is, you are our guest.
Oh?
Gregor, see the tribesmen approach.
Right, right, Asher. And our friend Stolar is with them. They are delivering him right on time.
Bully for you.
These superstitious fools. They pulled their horses to a stop at a safe distance. Still afraid of airplanes. Ah, friend Stolar dismounts.
Gregor!
Welcome, Stolar!
Who's that with...
Well, 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 if it isn't my old friend Steve Mitchell. You remember me, Steve.
Sure. James C. Stolar. Rat. First class.
Say, I like that first class part.
Of course he remembers you, Stolar. That's why he's here.
Now, Steve, you don't mean to say you came all the way over here to get me to go back to the dear old States with you?
That was the general idea, Stolar. We like you so well, we'd like to keep you there safe for about 20 years to life.
Well, I'm sorry, but I've got no desire to see the Statue of Liberty again.
That doesn't surprise me.
Stolar, I've invited Mitchell to be our guest.
You're going to take him with us?
Why not? It occurs to me he undoubtedly has much information of value. Information he might be persuaded to reveal to our superiors.
Good idea. And you'll love the trip, Mitchell. So much that you may never come back.
So I've got a one-way trip staring me in the face. They start herding me toward the plane. Then I spot Stoller giving a quick look around out of the corner of his eye, and he hangs back behind Gregor a little. Suddenly, I figure something doesn't quite add up. I get the feeling that something's going to happen. 2 seconds later, it does.
Hey, machine gun!
Over the ridge roars the professor's half-track. The girl Myra is driving, and the professor's blazing away with a Tommy gun.
Quick, into the plane!
Gregor tries for it and doesn't make it because just then some of the professor's slugs rip into the plane's gas tank. The plane goes up in smoke. Gregor and the co-pilot with it. The concussion knocks me flat. Then I spot Stoller running toward the half track. He jumps in and they roar away. I get to my feet and run to Hasher, who's blinking his eyes groggily.
I'll take the gun, Hasher. Thanks.
The explosion, it knocked me down. The plane...
The plane just took off the hard way.
I don't understand. Stoller's
a lot smarter than I gave him credit for, and a little too smart for Gregor and company.
What do you mean?
Stoller knows what happens to guys who goof up in his racket. He knew he wasn't getting rescued just because he was such a nice guy. They were probably going to deal out a little punishment when they got him back. So he got his friends, the professor and Myra, to rescue him from the rescue party.
Oh, dog!
Yeah, looks like a case of an old dog teaching a few new tricks.
At least you will not get him either.
Maybe not, but I'm still going to give it the old school try, which means the first thing is for you to show me where you've got Barid tied up. Now, come on, move.
She leads me back to the deserted village in one of the mud huts Barid's inside. None the worse for wear. I release him. Then we tie up Hasha and leave him there. Barid and I grab our horses.
We still have a chance to catch them.
I don't know, Barid. Chasing a half-track on horseback, that's pretty long odds.
If they get to the main road ahead of us, we are lost. But the travel will be rough and slow for them before that. And we can cut over the ridge.
Okay, let's go. Hey, brother, you weren't kidding when you said this country was rough going, Barid.
It is our only chance, Steve. You see, even in the half-track, they must circle around this ridge, but we are going over it.
What are those ruins down there on the flat?
That is the ancient city of Abad.
Not much left.
No, a ruined temple. A few piles of stone here and there, that is all.
Wait a minute.
What is it?
Come on, we're going down there.
But why? Surely they would not stop there.
No? Take a look behind one of those piles of stone.
A glint of metal?
Yeah. Could be part of that half-track sticking out.
But why were they... Yes, it is the half-track.
Oh, there. Come on. We'll leave our horses here and work our way in on foot.
All right.
Keep your eyes open and your gun ready.
I still do not understand why they stopped here.
There's your answer. See the half-track? Bullet holes in the gas tank. They ran out of gas.
In that case, they are somewhere here in the ruins.
They sure are. Those shots came from the ruined temple. Okay, we're going in. We hug the ground and ease our way into the ruined temple. It goes back a long way. We can't see very far in the gloom. Most of the columns are still standing, but they don't look very steady.
Watch out!
Oh, brother.
That column missed us by 6 inches.
I barely brushed against it, and it started to topple.
I should be blind. Hey, wait a minute. That falling column gave me an idea.
Stoller, get smart. Come on out.
Come and get me.
I don't have to. We'll just bury you and leave you here.
Yes, again.
Okay, Barrett. Let's both take a few shots at that column over there. You see how easy it is?
You'll never get me that way.
How about you, Professor? You want to get in the way of one of those fallen columns?
He's the guy I'm after.
Why?
He's got the Tommy gun. After we get that out of the way, we can go in after Stoller.
How about it, Professor? Want another demonstration?
Must be working on him. He's not saying anything, but probably doing a lot of thinking.
Professor Barrow, stop, you fool!
Steve, it worked.
I'm coming out! I'm coming out!
He's still got the Tommy gun. Stoller got him.
There's his Tommy gun lying out there.
Yeah, but we stick our neck out after it and we get shot real quick.
It is a deadlock.
Maybe not. If the next move is what I think it'll be. Here, you take my gun.
But why?
Fire both of them like I'm still here with you.
What are you going to do?
Meet them in the parking lot. I inch back out of the temple. Bari keeps firing both guns to make it sound like we're together. If my hunch is right, Stoller and Myra will slip out the back and try for our horses. But if they get there before I do, I'll be staring down a gun barrel and nothing to shoot back with. As it turns out, it's a dead heat. Just as I get to the horses, Myra comes around the rocks.
Mitchell!
Hi, Myra.
Stoller, watch out!
Mitchell!
Yeah, Mitchell.
Let go!
Do it. Thanks for the gun. Sorry, Myra, you're not leaving.
Let go!
Just take it easy, both of you.
Oh, your trick, Steve. Your trick. It worked.
Yeah, sure did, Barid. Well, Stoller, looks like you're going to see the Statue of Liberty again after all, but don't be surprised when you sail by if she turns thumbs down on you. Next week, Canada, and a killer who wouldn't stay dead.
And that will be Steve Mitchell's dangerous assignment next week.
Dangerous Assignment on Tuned to Yesterday from June 24th, 1953 on NBC. Star Brian Dunleavy was heard exclusively in that series on radio. In the movies, he wasn't too busy in the year of that broadcast, seen in only one major motion picture alongside radio actor John Lund called The Woman They Almost Lynched, and on the small screen was seen in a play on the Motorola Television Hour. You're listening to an hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Escape, a CBS episode from April 7th, 1950, called The Ambassador of Poker.
Tired of the everyday routine? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you Escape! Escape! Designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
Tonight we escape to the interior of China and the story of a gentleman gambler from Virginia matching wits with a murderous warlord whose word can mean life or death. As Ahmed Abdullah tells it in his famous story, The Ambassador of Poker.
Good.
Here he is, sir.
Captain, I demand to know the meaning of this. This sailor has forced me to pack my baggage, vacate my cabin, and come here.
He did it on my orders, Mr. Fairbairn. You are leaving this ship.
Leave it? But you are mistaken, sir. This is only Hong Kong. My passage is paid to Singapore.
In this envelope, you will find the refund of the remainder of your passage. It comes to $43, I believe. Good day to you.
Well, you can't do this. I demand an explanation.
I shall give it to you in a word. Poker. There is not a man aboard, officer or crewman, who has not lost every cent he had to you.
You're implying that I play dishonestly? That I cheat?
Let's just say that you win, too, consistently.
Sir, I am Randolph C. Fairburn of Charlottesville, Virginia, sir. A southern gentleman. I have never cheated at cards in my life, and I never will. Here in my wallet is all of the money I won on this voyage. Some $324, I think. Take it. You may distribute it among the men. You will, I presume, allow me to keep the $20 bill that I had when I came aboard.
I cannot accept this money back, Mr. Fairburn, but...
Then throw it overboard. Here, allow me.
No. Wait, I'll take it. I'll return it to the men.
Thank you. Now, if you will pardon me.
Mr. Fairburn, perhaps I have misjudged you. If so, I'm deeply sorry.
Your apology is accepted.
But you must admit you're winning all the time.
That is my good fortune, sir, and my curse. I simply cannot lose.
Perhaps if you would agree not to play poker, perhaps you could stay on board to Singapore.
No, sir, I do not stay where I am not wanted.
But you haven't much money. How will you get along in Hong Kong? What will you do?
Why, I expect something will turn up. If not, I will play poker.
On the Hong Kong waterfront?
Certainly.
Well, sir, if you play and if you insist upon winning...
I can't help winning.
Then, Mr. Fairburn, I should advise you to be prepared for a great deal of trouble. I should advise you to slip a gun in your pocket alongside your rabbit's foot.
Mr. Fairburn, are you staying on another week?
Why, yes, I believe I will.
Oh, well then, sir, we shall have to have payment for the room in advance.
Oh, yes, I'll take care of that tonight. Right now, I have something important. By the way, do you know where I might find a poker game?
Poker? Oh, no, sir, not in this hotel.
Poker? Yes, sir. If you don't value your life too highly, on the waterfront, Pearl Dock Street, down the alley of the Heavenly Fish, the Black Dragon in the back room.
You are bluffing. I call you.
Three lovely ladies.
Well, mon ami, you are unlucky tonight.
You wait. Just you wait. All right. Deal the cards.
Gentlemen, I beg your pardon.
Who is this one?
What is it, young fellow?
I wonder if I might sit in this game, if you don't mind.
What?
Regardez. You're just a boy.
Why, of course, old chap, of course. Happy to have you. Won't you sit down, Mr.
Fairburn. Randolph C. Fairburn of Charlottesville, Virginia.
Well, sit down, Mr. Fairburn. This is Frenchy the... Frenchy, Van Alkemade, Rangoon George, the Croker, and, you just call me Skip.
Enchanté.
How do you do, gentlemen?
Always happy to see a new face in the game.
Yeah. How many chips do you want?
Why... $17.64 worth as a starter. There.
Is that all you have?
I'm afraid it is. For the moment, at least.
Oh. Well...
I don't think I'll need any more.
Me? I love the innocent of the very young. Deal, mon petit.
Raise you five.
Very well. Call.
Three aces.
Sorry. Full house. Nines over four. I'll play these, gentlemen.
Mordieu. Another pattern.
Check to you.
No, not to me, old fellow. I'm out.
Well, see. It's all yours, monsieur. Unless...
Thank you, gentlemen.
Hey, wait. Wait a minute. You get out.
I beg your pardon?
I said get out. This joke has gone far enough.
Joke? I don't understand.
Get out.
Don't worry, sir. I don't care to stay where people don't want me. Here, cash my chips, and I'll move along, gentlemen.
What?
Cash your blinking chips, did you say, young fella?
Why, yes, sir.
Oh, to the devil with you. Beat it while you can still walk.
Gentlemen, I must insist upon my money.
You what?
I am an extremely nervous man. I do not like to fight, but...
Out! Get out before I...
I'm sorry, sir. But I warned you. Though I don't like fighting, my mother insisted that I study
Let
boxing.
Let me at him. I'll kill him. I'll kill him.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I dislike using the gun, but I had no choice. You may get up, sir. You are uninjured. I merely shot into the ceiling. And now, if you will be good enough to cash my chips, I can be on my way.
84, 85, and 20 cents. That's it to the penny.
Thank you, gentlemen. Now, if you will remain facing me with your hands up until I've left the room...
Be careful with that thing.
There is very little danger. I'm really a very indifferent marksman. Who's that?
Ah, there is no need to fear this humble one, sir. Good evening. I watched the little scene you enacted just now, Mr...
Fairburn, sir. Randolph C. Fairburn of Charlottesville, Virginia, sir.
Ah, of course. The Virginian. All of you, go.
Well, you certainly have that pack of rats under your thumb. A wave of your hand, and they are gone like magic.
Not magic, my friend. The power of money. That is more practical. Besides, I own this place.
Ah.
So, you are a Virginian.
Yes, sir, an unworthy son of that great and noble commonwealth.
Oh, I am delighted. My late partner was Virginian. I am Shang Pao of Jones and Shang Pao Importers. Pardon inquisitiveness, but would you care to go to work?
Well, I am not a businessman, and I don't speak Chinese.
No matter. You are gentleman and fighting man.
Oh, not a fighting man. No, you're mistaken.
No matter. I need man like you, and it will be worth a great deal of money to you.
How much?
$5,000.
But for what? What is the job?
To recover for me a fortune from the interior of China. An object no bigger than your hand, weighing less than 4 ounces. The British Museum has offered £10,000. Your own Metropolitan Museum will gladly pay $50,000. Private collectors, more, much more.
Well, why? What is it?
Is thin gold wafer, on which is impressed only imprint known of Great Seal of Yin Dynasty, 3,000 years ago. Is priceless relic. And it was, and legally still is, property of Jones and Sheng Pao. It will be your job to return it to me by whatever means you are able.
But from where? Who has it now?
You have heard of General Kung?
No.
Notorious bandit, now puppet ruler of Namyung? On some pretext, he confiscated seal from my partner. Jones died while trying to recover it of typhus, so it was said.
Too bad. Well, how am I to get the seal from him?
Perhaps we will suggest itself when I tell you that General Kung also liked to play poker.
So that's why you picked me.
Perhaps you will do it.
Well, I'll go a long way for a game of poker.
Excellent. I shall arrange for you forged document, safe conduct pass, also reliable Chinese guide. You must be careful. Watch out for a beautiful young lady with red hair like sun. She is perhaps after seal also.
Huh? Who is she?
I do not know. But I do know she is dangerous. Also, young Mr. Fairburn, let me say this to you. Though you do not like fighting, this is China, not Virginia. If you get chance to slit throat of General Kung, do so promptly. Before he does say to you.
Is this the place, Mao Tzu?
Hello, General Chung. Take hotel, chase people away.
Oh, he confiscated that, too. All right, let's go.
Lady Hibinshia.
What's this?
God say we no can go inside.
Tell him I want to see the general, Mao Tzu. What did he say?
He say no. No like American here.
Tell him I'm an ambassador from Virginia.
Virginia.
What did he say?
He say no.
Tell him I'm an ambassador of poker. Tell him to tell the general that.
Did you say poker, Mr. Fairbank?
I did, sir. Would you care to have a game?
Come in. In here, Mr. Fairbank.
Thank you.
I have cards and chips. And oh, excuse me. This is Miss Grushenka, Mr. Fairbairn.
How do you do?
Wow, I hadn't expected to find such a lovely lady.
Спасибо. You are gallant.
Oh, it's an old Virginia custom, madam.
Oh, you American. You will excuse me, perhaps.
Oh, don't leave.
Of course, my blossom. You may go now.
Da. Do svidaniya.
Goodbye, miss. It was a pleasure to...
Now, Mr. Fairbairn.
I'm sorry. I hope I haven't interrupted anything.
It is nothing. Only a woman. Sit down.
But a very beautiful one, with lovely red hair.
Still a woman. I have not played poker for many moons. Cut for deal.
And the stakes?
Shall we say $100 a chip?
$100? All right. Three aces. Enough?
Deal.
Full house. Enough?
Deal again.
King high straight. Enough?
Another.
Heart flush.
All right. That is enough. You play poker very well, Mr. Fairbairn.
I can usually win when I want to.
You put me in embarrassing position. You have wiped out treasury. Now I must collect another tax. And last one was only last week.
That won't be necessary, General. I think we can make a deal.
What kind of deal?
Instead of the money, I'll take the yin seal for payment.
So, now I understand. You cannot be that naive, Mr. Fairbairn.
I played the game in good faith, sir. I demand that
you demand nothing, American pig. You will think over your stupidity in my prison.
It's quite all right, I tell you. General Kung has given me his permission.
John, go home, Taklo.
Dolja, dolja. Oh, hello, Mr. Fairbairn.
Well, hello. Nice of you to come and see me.
If I get you out of here, will you help me?
What happened to your Russian accent?
Will you?
Well, yeah. Of course, it wasn't a good accent anyway. Unless I'm crazy, you're from Virginia, too.
That doesn't matter now. We've got to get out of here.
We? Well, I thought you and the general were friends.
Not at all. I was living in the hotel here when he took it over. He won't let me leave.
You could just walk out.
How? He confiscated my credentials. Keeps me almost a prisoner. Refuses me a safe conduct pass.
So you want mine?
Well, why not? You can add and wife to it. Something like that. There wouldn't be any trouble.
Well, if I'm to have a beautiful wife, I think I should at least know her name.
It's Susan Jones.
Ah, that begins to fit. Susan Jones, daughter of the American partner of Jones and Shang Pao. And you're after the yin seal, too.
How did you know?
Never mind. But why did Shang Pao say that you were dangerous?
Because he's after the seal for himself. And it belongs to me. It was my father's, not the company's. He's trying to steal it from me.
Or you from him.
Honestly, Mr. Fairbairn.
Never mind. Where is the seal? Can we get it?
Easily. He keeps it in a strong box in his hotel room. He showed it to me. Oh, I could have got it long ago, but I couldn't have gotten away.
All right, now, how do we get out of here?
Would this help?
What? My gun. Definitely. Now...
If I were to call the guard in...
And I were to... Yes, you're a very practical girl.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Bing Jai. Bing Jai.
Lie low, lie low. Mother, is it going
Heidi.
Mother, is it going on? Nick, you want to madang? Ning
Sorry, old boy. All right, Miss Jones. Lead the way. What's the matter?
He's in there. We'll have to do something.
What?
You leave it to me. You be ready when...
Miss Jones, I don't think I should let you, a young lady from Virginia.
It's Grushenka.
Ah, my blossom. Come in. So, at last, you come to me, my sweet one.
Da, da, daragoy.
Come to my... Aya!
Good heavens, what did you do to him?
Simple. A judo trick. My father insisted I learn judo.
Did you kill him?
No. But he'll be asleep for a couple of hours. Long enough for us to get the seal and get out of here.
You back so soon, Master?
Come on, Maotsu. We've got the seal. Let's go.
How are we going to travel?
We'll use this car.
That's General Kuhn.
So I see. And that's his chauffeur, no doubt. You two get ready to jump in. I'm going to say hello to him. Oh, I say, old man, how are you? Let me shake your hand. That's it. Okay, let's go. We're going to have to get rid of this car soon. Maotsu, what's this village up ahead?
Qingpin.
Can we get a train there?
Oh, yes. Little train, sometime.
All right. Maotsu, you get rid of the car. We'll see about the train. Bad luck. No trains until morning. We'll have to stay here overnight.
There's a little inn over there.
Not exactly the kind of place I'd usually take a girl from Virginia, but the only trouble is Maotsu isn't back and I can't speak Chinese. How do you say two single rooms?
I can speak enough for that. Come on.
Yes? Who is it?
It's me, Susan.
Oh, just a minute. Hello.
May I come in?
Sure.
Here. I thought we really should have a drink. Sort of a toast to our escape.
Well, what is it?
Oh, some special kind of Chinese wine. The proprietor says it's very good.
I really don't think we should celebrate just yet.
Well, of course, if I'm repulsive to you.
Oh, no, nothing like that. You're
beautiful. Of course. So shall we drink to my beauty?
Yeah, to your beauty.
Oh, such a little sip. I'm more beautiful than that.
Oh, yeah.
Down the hatch. There now, that's a big boy.
You know, that wasn't bad. Not bad at all. Didn't know the Chinese made wine like that. Do you have more?
That'll be enough.
Well, what do you mean?
In about 2 minutes, you'll be fast asleep.
Asleep?
Some of these Chinese wines are interesting. Special. Something like a Mickey. I don't think you'll be terribly sick, though, when you wake up.
Susan, what is this?
Simple, dear. I can buy a lot of negligees like this one with that $50,000, and I don't intend to share it with Sheng Pao any more than he does with me. So, well, I really hate to trouble you, Lamb, but I need the seal, your safe conduct pass, and your gun.
Susan, you're a...
No names, Lammy. It isn't chivalrous. And you're a Virginia gentleman, remember?
Susan.
I'll leave you the cards, dear, so you can play solitaire. Bye-bye. Pleasant dreams.
Why, you... How long has she been gone, Maotsu?
4 or 5 hours.
That's enough. We can't catch her now.
I think maybe yes.
How?
She take first train. It's slow train. We take next train. It's fast train. We catch her before she get to Hong Kong.
Good boy, Maotsu. Let's go. Sorry to startle you, my dear. No, don't reach. I'll just take your bag. I suppose the seal and my gun and my safe conduct pass are inside. Thank you.
Oh, Randolph, honestly, I'm so glad to see you. I've been hating myself for what I did to you.
You have?
Oh, yes. I really like you, Randolph. I wouldn't have done it except I needed the seal. You know, a little old girl like me alone in the world. I am alone, you know, Randolph. And the seal was my only inheritance from my daddy. Mm-hmm. I'd be penniless without it. You wouldn't want that, would you, Randolph?
You wring my heart, Miss Jones.
Oh, all right. I suppose it's just as well, really. This way, at least, I won't be a criminal.
What do you mean?
It's you who'll be the criminal, you and Sheng Pao. What? Well, what are you going to do about it?
I don't know. I'll have to think.
Well, think fast. We'll be in Hong Kong in an hour. Well, Randolph, what are you going to do?
Come on. Let's get out of the station, then we can...
Greetings, old chap.
Just stand where you are.
And you too, mademoiselle.
Randolph, who are these men?
Some old friends. And this time, I'm afraid they're prepared. I can feel their preparation in the small of my back.
Yeah, so march.
I bet you could have found a dirtier, smellier back room to bring us to.
Shut up.
They haven't got it.
He must have.
I tell you, I've searched. They haven't got it.
Come on. Tell us, where is it?
Who are you working for, General Kung?
Where did you put it?
Put what, gentlemen?
You know all right. The seal.
I don't know. Maybe I lost it.
Ah,
wait. Save it until the boss gets here. He'll know how to make them talk. The Chinese.
Yeah, but it may be ours.
Well, here is cards. Why not play while we are waiting?
Oh, that's an idea. Why not? You're dear, Frenchie.
Randolph, darling. If General Kung...
Don't worry. I'll think of something.
I know you will. You're wonderful. But just in case, I want you to know... I am sorry for what I did.
Hey, you kissed me.
Yes. Did you like it?
Yes, only Don and my hands are tied. But I've got an idea. Just a minute.
All right, deal of my Frenchie.
What's the matter? Afraid to let me play with you? Afraid I'll beat you again?
Well, what do you say, chap?
Why not? Yes, money. Our money.
I'll untie him. Raise.
Call.
Three tens.
Three aces.
Three aces.
Four deuces.
Four kings.
Straight flush.
Straight flush.
Royal flush.
Oh, he's cheating. He must be. I'll kill him. I'll kill him.
Darling, you knocked them all out.
What a mess. My cards all over the room.
Leave them. Let's get out of here. Listen. Listen, somebody's coming. Maybe it's the general. Hurry, hurry.
Just a minute. I've got a fan. There. All right. Let's go.
Good evening. Not leaving so soon?
Oh, Sheng Pao. So Mao Tzu found you. A good thing I sent him off to... But wait a minute. How did you know where to find us?
Perhaps if we will go back into...
No, wait a minute. We want to talk to you.
There is no need for me to talk to Miss Jones or to you. You are through. Just hand over the yin seal.
Randolph, you've got a gun.
So you are a double crosser.
Randolph! Goodbye to Hong Kong.
Yes. Goodbye forever.
It will be good to see Virginia again, won't it, darling?
Yes. Although I left under something of a cloud, I suppose they'll give a married man a new chance.
No doubt of it, especially since he's reformed. Lammy, you've never told me, and I haven't asked you, but whatever you did with that seal, I'm glad we don't have it. It would have been wrong to start our married life with dishonesty like that.
Susan, I...
And now that you are married, there'll be no more fighting, and that means no more poker.
Susan...
And because it's a symbol of the old life, I brought up your pack of cards, and here. Here's an end to it.
No, wait! Susan!
Why, Lammy, what is it? What's the matter? Well, I only threw your old pack of cards overboard. If it means that much, you can always get a new pack.
But you don't understand. In that pack of cards, concealed in the lining of the box, was the yin seal.
You've just thrown $50,000 into the ocean.
Escape is produced and directed by William N. Robeson. Next week...
You are standing on an ancient pyramid hidden in the depths of Yucatan. Somewhere beneath your feet lies a sacred shrine with millions in jewels and gold. But from the impenetrable jungle and the fanatic high priests of the Mayas, there can be no escape.
Next week, we escape with the story of a man and woman whose lust for gold led them to dangerous defiance of the laws of a primitive but still powerful cult. As Les Crutchfield and Paul Pierce tell it in The Golden Snake. Goodbye then, until the same time next week when once again we offer you Escape. Everyone wants to give a helping hand to America's crippled children. That's why everyone is buying Easter seals. Money from the sale of these seals helps to carry on the good work of the National Society for Crippled Children and Adults, which conducts an extensive program of education, research, and personal care for the physically handicapped. So, do your part by buying Easter seals. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Escape, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 7th of April, 1950 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.